5 years. But my last days, I want my theme to be redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. It is my thrust, it is my prayer these days that would be that, Lord, teach me how to love you like you love me. This phrase is engraved this morning upon the tombstone of one of the greatest preachers to ever live. Charles Haddon Spurgeon crossed his tomb as, "Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die." I want to begin this morning in chapter 1. And I want to look in this redeeming love, God coming after us looking for a bride. I want to look this morning at wonderful love. Wonderful love. I speak of that first love. Do you remember when you first got saved? You're silly about God. You didn't mind telling anybody about it. You probably was crazy and even said amen every now and then at church. You might have even gotten crazy when you first got saved and waved your hand or something. I know some of you have gotten over it. But wonderful love. It is that courting love. It is that silly, mesmerized love. Is love where you act like you're the only two on the earth and there's nobody else alive. Do silly things, lost in one another. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Baptist church would get back to that kind of love? Even while we're singing, we wouldn't mind lifting a hand towards it. Redeeming love. Then my theme shall be till I die. If we have gotten away from it, gotten beyond it, gotten over it, gotten away from it, may we quickly this morning run back to it. Amen. God likes it when we get silly about Him. He loves it when we act like we're mesmerized. He loves it when we act like we're the only person, Him and I, in the whole world. Wonderful love. As we begin to look at it this morning, I notice an introduction to wonderful love. It says in verse 1 of chapter 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Very clearly that Solomon is the author of this book. He was the son of David. He was the third king over United Israel. There's only been three kings over United Israel. Saul, David, Solomon. The fourth will be King Jesus. Amen. He shall come and rule and reign. 1 Kings, we're told that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs. I hope you won't feel bad at me, feel less of me. Beth and I, our song is a song by Kenny Rogers, Through the Years. We've always loved that song. It depicts a lot about what we've been through during our life. Matter of fact, we want it played at our funeral while they do a video of our life. And that's just what we do. But I thought here in verse number 1, Holy Ghost now, He's breathing. into Solomon the words to write for this book. And he said, Solomon, he said, this song is my favorite song, the Song of Songs. So if you're wondering, sometimes I know people will say, boy, I wish y'all sing that song again. That's my favorite song. Well, if the Holy Ghost was here this morning, he said, let's sing the Song of Solomon. He said, that's my favorite song. Amen. Redeeming love has been my thing and shall be till I die. We're told that Solomon wrote three books in the Bible. Most believe that this was the first. It was a time of intimate love with Christ, an intimate love with God. It was his beginning days of knowing God. And he believed that he wrote Proverbs in his middle age. It was full of wisdom and understanding the ways of God. You say he wrote Ecclesiastes in his old age. He had been torn away from God by possessions, women, money, vice. And he limped across the finish line, not even knowing closely and intimately. Redeeming love has been my thing, shall be till I die. I don't know about you, not speak for you. But I don't want an Ecclesiastes ending to my life where I limp across the finish line because this world has blown me away. I think I've got to stay home tonight and take care of myself. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, an introduction thought to wonderful. Could I mention an introduction theme this morning? Various relationships to Christ one can have. We can be a sheep to a shepherd. Sheep is the dumbest animal you'd ever want to have. If you take them out and lead them on the other side of Knoxville, you can rest assured you'll never see them again. They'll never find their way home. You take a cat to the other side of Knoxville, he'll beat you back home. Amen. Not a sheep, dumb, stupid. That's why they need a shepherd. Bride to a bridegroom. Redeemed to a redeemer. Husband to a wife. Story of a king laid aside his crown. Jesus laid aside his crown, his deity, ascended into this earth to die, look for a Gentile bride, the likes of you and I. Oh, as the old songwriter said, take my heart, seal it for thy courts above. May I be able to say, Lord, teach me how to love you like you love me. Redeeming love. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I'd stick my nose in your business. Do you have any desire at all? I mean, just an ounce, just a thread of a desire to want to love God like he loves you. Are you listening to me this morning? Introduction theme. I mentioned an introduction truth this morning. Just exactly how much does he love you? Talking about, I want to love him like he loves me. Jeremiah said that God said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Vanishing point to vanishing. He has no naughty and nice list like you and I have. Nice and naughty list. We love people dependent upon how good they are. He loved me as much when I was lost sinner as I am a saved saint. His love has never grown or lessened. He loves me when I'm bad. He loves me when I'm good. Look on the row you're sitting on. If you're sitting there with anybody, there is nobody on that row that will love you when you're good and when you're bad. Oh, no, 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 no. He does. It's an everlasting love. You remember the little petals we used to have when we was a kid? She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me now. You might would ask the Lord this morning, Lord, do you still love me? When did you begin to love me? You would hear back from him, yes, I love you, and I never began to love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Is that love for everybody? Absolutely not. Loves his redeemed. That's why I want to cry this morning. Redeeming love has been my theme. Amen. Shall be till I die. May my prayer be today, Lord, teach me somehow. I know I can't arrive there. I know I can't get there. But Lord, let me strive to seek to love you like you love. Could I mention also from this wonderful love, not only an introduction to it, but I notice if you have the Bible there in Song of Solomon chapter number 1, there's an intimacy with wonderful love. You know, Jesus is very interested in getting closer to you than you are to him. Did not know if you know that or not. Most of us, if we would be honest, in our flesh, we're not interested in getting too close to God. Because if we do, we're going to have to give up a lot. Because there's a lot about us he don't like. Did not know if you know that or not. I noticed there's some titles of intimacy in this text. In chapter 1 in verse 14, this is Solomon speaking to her. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire. He calls her my beloved. Very interesting title. Much loved. I thought it was interesting that this is the father's pet name for his boy Jesus. Can you imagine that God Almighty would step to the point of calling you and I the pet name that he only had for his boy Jesus? You remember when they baptized him, he come up out of the water and a dove, the Holy Ghost, lit upon his shoulder. There was a voice came from heaven, the Father speaking. He said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Wow. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:6 that he has made us accepted in the beloved. Why in this world would he call me the beloved? I tell you why, because he can't see me. Are you listening to me? You get a hold of that, you kick it back in out of your choir room. I guarantee you wouldn't sit there and do this. Amen. You liable to get happy. Huh? He can't see you. If you're saved this morning, you're in Christ, he can't see you. All he can see is his Son. That's why he calls me and you the beloved. See, when Christ was on the cross, all he could see was me. And he unleashed all of hell and damnation upon that cross because he saw me hanging there. Now that Christ is off that cross and I'm saved and I'm in Christ, when he looks at me, all he can see is his beloved, and his statement is this: I am well pleased in him. I say redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, the Father calls us the beloved. Can you imagine that he would include you and I in an exclusive love that the Father only had for the Son? You do remember the first time love's mentioned in the Bible. First time it is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham the father said that he loved Isaac his son. That is an exclusive love that God the Father only had for God the Son. And if you're saved this morning, he says, I have decided to share that love with you. I tell you what, that don't make me want to do this. It makes me want to do this. Huh? Teeming love has been my theme, shall be till I die. May this provoke us. If we have gotten away from it, we've gotten beyond it, we've gotten over it, maybe it would cause us this morning to want to run and quickly get back to it, to be mesmerized, to be lost in him, not minding to say a word for him, not minding to come over here to the church and when these kids are singing and Sean and them singing, it wouldn't be anything wrong with saying, hallelujah, glory to God. Huh? Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, the titles of intimacy. But I see the ties with intimacy. It says in verse number 4 of chapter 1, draw me, we will run after thee. King brought me into his chambers. I was interested in that little word, draw. Matter of fact, Hosea said in his book about Gomer, she said, he drew me with cords of love. Drew me with cords of love. You remember reading that? This is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. Drew me with cords of love. The little word drew is a very interesting word. It has two meanings in Hebrew. One is to make a union of two opposing factors, causing them to be friends. So if God has redeemed you this morning, you were his enemy. He had hell's judgment cocked over your head. For some reason, only known to him, his love caused us to be made one with Christ. Now, instead of being his enemy, we have now become his friend. Amen. Redeeming love has been my theme, shall be till I die. The other meaning is what fascinates me. The word drew. It means to drive, to drag, to push, to press in one direction. Preacher, how in the world did I get into this redeeming love? There's only one way you got into this redeeming love. He pushed you into it. He drove you to it. I hear, I was in church several years ago, Gil got up. That's what I like about Storm and his family. They don't talk none while they sing. A lot of singers feel like they got to talk. Most of the time they say something stupid. And she said something stupid before she sung. She said, God's a gentleman. He won't ever make you do nothing you don't want to do. I leaned over to Beth. I said, "You reckon Jonah thought he was a gentleman?"
Amen.
You listening to me this morning? Oh, Gomer said in here, Shunammite girl says that he drew me, pressed me, he pushed me, even to the point he drugged me into the family of God. Deeming love has been my theme, shall be till I die. Ties with intimacy. See, there is a treasure from intimacy. She says in chapter 1 and verse 2, this is her speaking now. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Old Shunammite girl said, "I sure wish you'd kiss me right there. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." Here, one of the most sensitive parts in all of the body is the lips. Like I said a few moments ago, he is wanting to get closer to you and I than we want to get close to him. Kiss me. I was reminded of the old Gail who was blind. She couldn't see. Somebody had given her a Braille Bible. She had learned Braille. He said every time you'd come to the house, she's in there running her fingers across that Braille Bible. She's consumed with it. She's mesmerized. She was in the middle of that wonderful love. She just couldn't get over it. Had a kitchen fire. And she's trying to put it out. And burn her hands real bad. And she realized that all the touch of her fingers that she could feel the Braille Bible were gone. Killed all the feelings. Preacher had come over to sort of encourage her, lift her spirits a little bit. She had that Braille Bible. She said, "Oh, preacher," she said, I don't even feel like I want to go on no more." She said, "I can't read my Bible no more." She said, "Can't have God talk to me no more from his word." She said, I'm just so down. And she opened it up and she said, "Preacher," she said, "I love my Bible so much." And she went to kissing it. While she's kissing it, she realized she had the same feelings in her lips that she used to have in her fingertips. And they said the rest of her life, every time you see her, she's kissing her way through her Braille Bible.
Amen.
Some of you won't even read it. She's a kissing her way through it. Are you listening to me this morning? She said to him, she said, "Why don't you kiss me and kiss me right there? I want to get closer to you. Lord, teach me how to love you like you love me." Matter of fact, she says there, in our text, in verse 2, she says, "For thy love is better than wine." I thought it was interesting, this little word wine here is the word intoxication. I was wondering this morning, any of you ever been drunk on God's love? Huh? She ain't talking about drinking some alcoholic beverage. Ooh, I tell you, I got right like, no. She said, "I am drunk on your love." You ever been around a drunk? They do strange things. Weird things. I don't doubt if you were drunk on God's love, you'd probably do crazy things over here at church. Like wavy hands, like shout, like glory, amen, hallelujah, stuff like that. You know, if you were intoxicated. I did a study recently on the life of John Huss. He was martyred for the faith, pastored a little church in England. when I was doing a biographical sketch on his life, he said in that little biography that he taught his people the imbibing of the Bible. Imbibing of the Bible. I thought to myself, what in the world is that? Is that some old English thing? He taught his people to embed the Bible. So I went and looked up the old English word imbibing. It is a word that is used for addiction. To be addicted to something, usually used of alcohol. He taught his people to get addicted to this book. I notice some of you don't even have a Bible with you. I don't know what you're addicted to, but you probably ain't the Bible. Are you listening to me this morning? Addicted to the Bible. One who is mesmerized by his love wants to be addicted to the Bible. Thinking about this, let him kiss me. You know, I've got 16 grandchildren. You would think, looking at me, I'm not even old enough to have kids, let alone have that many grandchildren. And when they were littler, especially the one that's, of course, she'll be 12 this coming week, but when she's first born, she still does. If we're at home, she'll probably be there at the house. They say, the rest of them say, that that's the only grandchild I've got. And they're probably right. But she hangs out there. But when she's young, I taught her how to throw kisses. You know, some people ain't never learned how to throw kisses. I hate an old lame kiss thrower. I hate that. If you're going to do it like that, keep your kisses to yourself. A throwed kiss must have a lot of arm action. And it must have sound to it. Mwah! Or it is a sorry kiss that has been thrown. Now I know. Not all of you will participate in the next minute or so. But I thought we ought to take a minute or so and throw the Lord some kisses. Because he is interested in getting closer to you than you are to him. Now, if you've got them old lame, keep it to yourself. But if you're going to get your good arm action going and get you some noise behind the kiss, on the count of three, get your kiss ready now. We're going to throw them towards heaven. You ready? One, two, three. Mwah! Oh, let's try it again. I think we almost had 100% participation. Maybe some of you that ain't tried it yet, maybe you'll try it. Let's do it one more time. One, two, three. Mwah! I preached that some time ago. Old Gail told me, she said she was riding down 85, and she said God come got in the car, and she said I started throwing him kisses in the car, and she said people were passing me on the interstate looking at me like I was a crazy. She said I had one hand on the steering wheel, and she says I was throwing him kisses, but she said he got bigger than I could handle. I tell you, if you want God to get bigger than you can handle, you start to going to be mesmerized by him and be willing to get silly with your love in his presence. I love what old George Beverly Shea said. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. He said, I'd rather have Jesus than all the world can afford. I'd rather have Jesus than be held in sin's great sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Could I close this morning not only with an introduction to wonderful love, the intimacy of wonderful love, could I mention the involvement in wonderful love? I was wondering this morning, I'm not asking if you're saved this morning. I'm not asking if you've been down the Romans Road, the German Road, or the French Road. I'm not asking if you've been dunked in a baptismal pool or if you've joined the Baptist Church. Hell will be full of people that did all of the above. And I'm asking you this morning, is there anything inside of you that makes you hungry to want to love God like He loves you? If it ain't there, would you make yourself a note, I'm going to hell when this is over with. Because if God's ever redeemed you, He's put a desire inside of you to want to seek. You'll never reach it in this world or in the world to come, but you want to seek to love Him like He loves you. Involvement in wonderful love. Christ is not an attachment to an organization. It's not a meeting of like-minded people. It's not a profession or a decision. But it is an involvement of wholehearted, going right now, intimate relationship with the living Christ that produces a desire. I want to love Him like He loves me. It must be. You say, what would happen if I was to have such a love? Well, let's just mention it out of chapter 1 and I'll be done. I noticed for her there was a consecrated change. She says in verse number 4, draw me, we will run after thee. She says, He has drawn me. She said up in verse number 2, it has produced joy in me. She says in verse 4, we will be glad and rejoice. She says, we will remember thy love more than wine. This consecrating change has made her joyous. She's not an old stick in the mud. She didn't mind getting happy because of what He's done. It's a consecrated change. This love has made her giddy, mesmerized with Him. I notice not only is there a consecrating change, there is a contrasting change. Verse 3, there's a before and after picture. She says, because of thy savor, thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. It says in verse number 5, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Prior to Him redeeming her, she says, I am black. She has been burnt with the sun. She's a slave. This world has consumed her and brought her down. That's the before picture. Contrast. Look at the after picture. She says, I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Those old tents were drab, gray. That's the way I was before I was a saved, I lost. But now, as the curtains of Solomon, bright, beautiful, spring-like colors. Oh, there's a contrasting change in me. Oh, what a wonderful change has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I used to go to a service like this and I had one thing on my mind, only one thing. When is He going to shut up so I can get out of here? And now, I wonder if He could tell me just a little bit more about Jesus. Maybe a little bit more that would help me get a little closer to Him. There is a contrasting change. But I notice there is a completed change. She says there in verse 5, I am black but comely. Slave, burnt by the sun. Notice in verse 10, thy cheeks are comely with the rose of jewels. Thy neck with chains of gold. Oh, before, she was a burnt by the sun slave. Now, She's got the jewels of a queen on. She has been crowned. Oh, what a change has been wrought in this girl. I tell you, if God has wrought a change in your life, it's just hard for you to sit back and not let it get on the outside of you. I love what old Al Smith said in his song. He says, there's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder of sunrise I see, but the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, when is the last time, or has there ever been a time, that you just sit around and wondered why in this world God would love the likes of you? Huh? I know some of you think you're lovable, but you ain't. I don't want to bust your bubble, but you ain't. There's a bunch about you that ain't lovable. He says, there's the wonder of springtime and harvest, sky, the stars, and the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that never begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. And I sit and think about why in this world would the likes of him love the likes of me. I must say, redeeming love has been my theme, shall be till I die. We're standing this morning. Sister's coming this morning to play us a little something at the piano. I wonder this morning, have you ever experienced redeeming love? It so radically changed you that you are amazed by it. I wonder this morning if you'd be honest and say, preacher, I have known that redeeming love, but I have been neglecting it. I have been distant from it. Preacher, I sense a need this morning to get back close to that mesmerized love that I once had for him. Wonder this morning if you've lost the wonder of it all, that the likes of God would love the likes of you and I. When is the last time, or has there ever been a time, when you rooted out you a place in an old altar like this one we got down here at the front? Maybe you can't kneel, but maybe you'd like just come sit for a while. This is the last time you just thank God for his redeeming love. And just sit around and muse for a little while. And God, why in this world would you love me? I don't know, you might find yourself wanting to throw him some more kisses. I might have taught you how to do something you hadn't thought about before. Brother, I think, is going to come and sing this morning. While he does, the altar's open. God's speaking to you. It'll be a good time. Scrooge up close to him. I tell you, if you go to scrooching close to him, look out. He'll go to scrooching close to you. While we wait in his presence, you come.